This is Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
Hit! Browns are going to win!
Mayfield, Enzone, Landry, touchdown!
With Dan Kadar and Browns beat writer Nate Ulrich of the Akron Beacon Journal and Ohio.com. With Steve Dorshuk from the Canton Repository.
It's intercepted! Picked off by Denzel Ward!
Chubb will take this all the way! 92 yards!
Ready, Browns fans. Now, Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Apologies for missing out on last week. Things get weird for us to record when it comes to strange weeks, like last week was Thanksgiving, obviously. So schedules just didn't line up, quite frankly. So apologies for missing last week. Maybe for the best, considering how the Browns have been playing. But this week we are in the Browns bye week. Nate is as busy as ever, however, so we're going to try and knock one out real quick this week. It's a weird place. The Browns are 6-6. Their quarterback has just about every injury you can have for a player right now. There are a lot of questions about the coaching. The Browns are a mess, quite frankly. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what Andrew Berry, the general manager, had to say this week, specifically about Baker Mayfield and his future and stuff like that. But before we do that, don't forget our podcast is brought to you by the USA Today Sports Plus app. It's a brand new app from our friends over at USA Today. It's a new way to cover sports, really. So check it out, USA Today Sports Plus. It's on the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. So, Nate, here's my big overarching question, and then we can kind of get into everything else. This isn't something that is going to agree with what Andrew Berry had to say this week. And by the way, we're recording this on Thursday morning-ish. This isn't going to be something that Andrew Berry would say. Frankly, it's not something that anybody with the Browns would say at all. But, Nate, to me, this is the question. Is Baker Mayfield on a 5-game audition for his job? I'm not talking about a contract. I'm literally talking about if he continues to play the way he has the last handful of games, which has been poor, is he auditioning to have a job with the Browns next season?
Well, that's a great question, Dan, and I don't completely know the answer, and I try to ask Andrew Berry things along those lines. Like, you know, basically my question to him is, you've got Baker Mayfield with the same head coach and same playbook for the first time as a professional player this season, right? And Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski and Baker Mayfield and Alex Van Pelt and Paul D. Podesta and owners D and Jimmy Haslam, everyone involved thought that Baker Mayfield would benefit from that continuity that he had lacked since the Browns had drafted him number one overall in 2018. And Andrew Berry even said in July 30th, like three practices into training camp when he spoke, that he anticipated Baker Mayfield would have another fantastic season. So he counted 2020 as a fantastic season. Obviously, Baker had a great second half. And he thought that would continue with this, you know, stability in the coaching staff and the same offensive system. And it just has not. Obviously, injuries have played a role, but to what extent is the great mystery and a huge question. I mean, if you ask the Browns, and Andrew Berry said it publicly yesterday, and Kevin Stefanski said it publicly time and again before, you know, they think Baker Mayfield is healthy enough to play and play well for him. And, you know, when you talk to Baker Mayfield, there's a different tone, and, you know, it's not, in my mind, it's not really making excuses as much as it is explaining what he's going through and how all these injuries affect his mechanics and how that can impact his accuracy. listen, I mean, I know he's been an inconsistent quarterback all along, but we've seen stretches of really good play from him, including last season. And we just have never seen that consistently this season. And just from the eyeball test, like the way he played against the Lions, and that it was a 13-10 win, but it felt like a loss because Baker Mayfield was so frustrated afterward. He bailed on his post-game interview, which is unheard of for a starting quarterback unless that quarterback's in concussion protocol. He was so mad about his performance, he didn't even want to talk. And, like, just eyeball test, I've never seen him so inaccurate. I mean, usually when he's missing high. He missed wide. He missed high. He missed low. Thought he got a little bit better against Baltimore and looked a little bit better, and they even called a quarterback sneak for him. Obviously, they thought that he was feeling better. He thought he was feeling better. He was moving a little bit. There was still a little bit of a limp there at times in Baltimore. So not 100%. I think the bye week comes at a great time for him because he's been banged up for quite a while, obviously playing with a shoulder injury all season. That happened September 19th in week two, the completely torn labrum. Obviously, that shoulder injury was exacerbated October 17th, week six against the Cardinals with the fractured humerus bone. But these lower body injuries, left heel, right knee contusion, groin, these have all been in the past few weeks. And, you know, I've asked him about that too, and those affect his mechanics because he is, for an NFL quarterback, a smaller guy. He is 6 foot, right? He's 6 foot, 6 foot one. And he doesn't throw it like some of these 6'5", 6'6", guys who just have that flick of the wrist going for him. Even Patrick Mahomes isn't that tall, but he's got that crazy arm. He's got that flick of the wrist going. That's why he can dive and throw the ball as he is falling to the ground and still complete some crazy passes. Like, Baker Mayfield's a different body type, and he uses a lot of his lower body. There's a lot of torque. It's a violent motion, in his words. So I think all this impacts him, right? So you throw that into the hopper. You throw the poor play into the hopper. You throw the fact that you do have him on this fifth-year option. So he's under contract through 2022. So you do have time. You do have time to figure this out if you want to figure it out. And I think these five games are going to give the Browns a kind of much better sense of whether they want to figure it out. Like, so I think that the way I'm looking at these five games and just the way that Andrew Berry described it, he said time and time again that he expects Baker Mayfield to be healthier and to play his best ball in these final five games. And like, he went through this whole spiel at the beginning of his Zoom availability, and he was talking about the entire team when he was going through the spiel, but it certainly applies to Baker Mayfield and things he was saying later. And it was like, hey, like, it's 6-6, we're not where we want to be, and like, times of adversity are really valuable because you can learn about people, and times of adversity are really valuable because they promote growth. And I thought that certainly was a message, not just to everybody, but as the conversation continued, as the Zoom continued, as Andrew Berry said more and more, that was a specific message to Baker Mayfield. I think that there was a vote of confidence that Andrew Berry expressed in Baker Mayfield, but also a challenge that he issued to Baker Mayfield in saying that he should play his best ball that he's played all season in these last five games. And so I think it's like, hey, you know, when kind of pinned down a little bit more, Andrew Berry had a quote saying, like, I don't think it's so much about him showing me something in the final five games. It is the body of work and things like that. And I do believe the body of work is something that, you know, has to be considered. It's not all just about this season. It's not all just about these five games. That's kind of obvious. But I do think, given the other things that Andrew Berry said about expecting Baker to play well, Baker being healthy enough to play winning football, I do think there is a little bit of challenge here to step up and show them something in this time of adversity in the final five games. And if he does, then I think that the Browns enter a world in which they can let Baker Mayfield prove himself next year. Obviously, Those meaningful contract extension talks never happened. I thought they would. We talked about it a lot. I thought it could happen before the season, Dan. Then I thought it could happen during the season. But the season went sideways on Baker because of a lot of reasons. These injuries, Odell Beckham Jr. forces his way out of Cleveland. You know, not just injuries to Baker Mayfield, but his receiving corps, his offensive line. I mean, there's a lot there. And frankly, you know, I mean, there's just the whole idea of, you know, on one hand, it's really great to have continuity with the coach and the playbook. You want that. But the flip side of that is defenses now have a book on you in this system, know how to shut down a lot of the stuff that you want to do well and the or that Baker does do well, and you want to make a staple of the offense with the bootlegs, the play actions, rolling out, throwing on the move. And, you know, those things are harder to do because I think defenses – are keying in on them, and those things are harder to do because of the injuries and the movement required. And, you know, thrown on the move with your shoulder injured, even though it's not your throwing shoulder, but that shoulder also in a harness, and that harness covers your entire upper body and, you know, most of your torso. Like, I think all these things matter. So this is my really long-winded way of saying, Dan, that there are so many factors at play. I think my sense is right now that the Browns will probably give Baker Mayfield a chance to prove himself next year if he finishes strong this season, gives him a good feeling heading into the offseason, but also depending on who is available and what other options present themselves. I really think that's a huge factor in this. So it's a long way of saying TBD, but this is how I'm looking at it and the different dominoes that are out there that could fall. A lot of it, I think, has to do with Baker, but I think a lot of it's going to have to do with the outside and the quarterback market and what does it look like. And, you know, is there going to be somebody who comes in and is a clear-cut upgrade and then they just sever ties with Baker? They trade him? Or is it going to be a situation where the Browns bring in somebody to compete with Baker for the starting job? I think those are some of the scenarios we're going to be looking at. You know, is there a scenario in which Baker finishes really strong this season? They feel comfortable just kind of bringing him back as the starter and getting kind of a developmental guy in the draft. I think those are kind of the doors, and we'll see which one opens.
There's a lot to unpack there. A lot. I want to start by saying that the big picture view is probably the responsible one, but I don't know if that's a good one for Baker Mayfield. I mean, I know all of the circumstances in play are really not fair with all the different coaching and coordinator changes and the injuries this year. But, Nate, I got to tell you, the big picture look on this guy, great in 2020, obviously. That's kind of it. I mean, he had a nice stretch in 2019 with Freddie Kitchens. I'll give him that, sure. He still threw 21 interceptions that season. He didn't complete 60% of his passes that season. So if you're looking at the big picture part of things with Baker Mayfield, I don't know if that's what's best for him, quite frankly, if he's really wanting one of these mega deals, or if he just wants to be the starter of this team. So the big picture view, to me, probably the right one, but probably not a good one for Baker Mayfield, I don't think. Now, when it comes to this season specifically, and maybe we'll get back into some of the possibilities of the offseason at a future date. You know, there's going to be a lot to shake out. You can talk about the draft. You can talk about, you know, possible free agents, trades, stuff like that. We'll talk about that in the future. But when it comes to these final five games, Nate, let's say the Browns happen to lose the next two. You know, they have Baltimore and they have the Raiders, both games in Cleveland. If the Browns lose those two games, do you think there's a scenario where they'll say, all right, at this point we're 6-8. There's no way we can make the playoffs. Let's just shut Baker down, have him get hit whatever number of surgeries he needs to get, and we'll start getting ready for next season. Do you think that scenario is out there where if the Browns really fall apart here coming out of the bye, do they shut Baker Mayfield down?
That's a great question. I don't know. It sure didn't sound like it yesterday when Andrew Berry spoke. It sure sounded like this is like a crucial stretch for the Browns and Baker Mayfield. And yeah, if they lose the next two games and they're out of it, then the conversation would change. And I don't know what the answer would be. But I just really think they want, you know, despite saying it's not five games for him to show me, I feel like they'd want him to show something. And yeah, you're right about the big picture. It isn't a great, compliment to him to look at the big picture and dive into it all. I mean, what it says right now on paper, he's an average quarterback. His record says that. His stats say that. But breaking it down a little bit more, but still being pretty basic, he's good pretty much every other season, Dan. Like, because I count his rookie season, being a rookie, as a good season. What he did, I thought was really impressive. I mean, he was nearly the offensive rookie of the year. Saquon Barkley edged him in a very close vote. But he set, at the time, the record for touchdown passes by a rookie. And, he was throwing picks, but I thought he had a really promising rookie season. 2019 regressed. 2020, it took him a while to get going under Stefanski. And that they had that bye week that was crucial for him last season. And he took off and played really well the back half of this season and got a playoff win in Pittsburgh. So this year's been a dud. And injuries have clouded the picture, I think. So it's been every other season, and I don't know about shutting him down. I mean, he certainly dismissed that earlier in the season when I asked him. There was a lot of talk after he told Jay Glazer of Fox Sports that he had that fractured humerus bone, that he should shut it down, and he said that hasn't even been discussed, not a consideration. Everybody on Earth expects him to have off-season surgery on that torn labrum, even though he has said, and I've talked and asked him questions about this at length, he is not conceding that he's even going to have surgery on it. So he's like the only person who won't say that he's going to have surgery on that. And sometimes that's just how players are, and they at all costs want to, they want to exhaust all resources to try to figure out a way to avoid going under a knife. So I think that's kind of where he's coming from on that. But yeah, I mean, theoretically, Dan, I mean, if you do want Baker Mayfield to be your starting quarterback or to compete to be your starting quarterback in 2022 and you're 6-8 and out of it, I think it would make sense to shut him down, get him the surgery on the torn labrum, and then he is able to begin his rehab and recovery earlier than he would otherwise. I just don't know if that's the way they'll do it. I think that there is we're trying to figure out what our quarterback is going to be. We're trying to figure out what our quarterback really is. And I know that you need to be able to say, like, hey, with nearly four seasons, they should know what he is. And I agree. And they probably do. But I still think that there is some sense to, like, when you look at the big picture, and I'm talking about every other season since 2018, and you're talking about the big picture of his career, I still think there's some sense of the Browns thinking, I mean, not that they throw all that stuff out pre-Stefanski, but I do think that their big picture might narrow in on the Stefanski era with Baker a little more than we're thinking. I just get that sense. And, if that's the case, then and this is year two, and in some respect, not totally, but in some respect, then I could see why they want him to finish it.
Boy, that's a wonderful point that I probably didn't think. Well, I know I didn't think of it, that their big picture compared to my big picture or fans' big picture might be different. And that's a really fascinating distinction to try and figure out is really how, what is their big picture?
Yeah, and Andrew Berry's big picture might be different than other people in the building's big picture. I mean, he was not the GM who picked Baker Mayfield. That was John Dorsey, of course, but Andrew Berry was in the building at the time. So, you know, he saw a really good rookie season out of him, too. I mean, I don't know. Do you consider it a really good rookie season? I did at the time, and I still do.
I thought it was fine relative to what the Browns are used to. But
well, that's like the whole Baker conversation.
Yes. Well, the big picture to me is always going to be how Baker Mayfield compares to Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen.
Yeah,
when you have to figure out the contract stuff. Yeah, so,
not a favorable comparison.
Right. Which maybe that's not fair. I don't know. But it is what it is when their contract stuff is all going to be happening at the same time throughout their career. You know, it already happened with Josh Allen. He got the monster huge deal. His play this year has kind of been okay. But in the past, he's been really, really good. Lamar Jackson's contract is still an open issue. He's been good, but like it's hard to ignore what the Browns did to him, albeit in a loss, intercepting him 4 times. I still cannot believe what happened in that game. I'm not over it. I'm never going to be over how a team can get 4 turnovers on an MVP caliber quarterback and lose. Be that as it may, that's my big picture of Baker Mayfield, of taking the whole thing in, just as a whole. It's hard to compartmentalize each piece of it. To me, I smash it all together, and I compare it to Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. So it's tough. I got to tell you, I would tell you, I would love to be an NFL GM. I'd love to have Andrew Berry's education level. I would love to be as in shape as Andrew Berry is. I do not want to be Andrew Berry trying to figure this out. He is in an incredibly, incredibly challenging position. And he's staking kind of his future on whatever decision he makes with Baker Mayfield. Either way, I do not envy that whatsoever. That's tough. That's real tough, man. Like, and then, you know, switching subjects a little bit, talking about coming out of the bye week for the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last year we saw Kevin Stefanski make changes, adjustments, whatever you want to call them. This year, you know, I think a lot of people are hopeful that'll happen again. I think it's going to be tough, though, Nate, considering the situation at right tackle. Blake Hance, to me, is a guard, and his pass protection kind of shows it. The Browns currently don't seem to have a wide receiver who can get open, like, on their own. Jarvis Landry's okay at it, but he's not dynamic. I just don't know what adjustments Kevin Stefanski can make coming out of the bye. What say you about that? Where do the Browns go coming out of the bye? Do you think we see something different, or do you think we see kind of the same?
Well, I think they have to mix it up and try some different things and, you know, add some wrinkles and, you know, offensively, we know. I mean, I've written a million times. It's been talked about a million times. But they've scored no more than 17 points in their last 7 games. And what's really maddening is the defense has turned the corner in the last couple of games and had those 4 interceptions, like you said, against Lamar Jackson. Since that blowout in New England, the defense has played well. And, you know, even going back before that blowout in New England, the defense had a stretch of good games. And, you know, they lose 15-10 to the Steelers and 16-10 to the Ravens. If they have just an average offense, But that those same defensive performances in those games, they win those two games. They're 8-4, the first place in the AFC North. They're 3-0 in the division. I mean, it's a fantasy, right? But it just shows you like how a totally inept passing game, a quarterback who's really struggling with his accuracy, how detrimental that is. I mean, the Browns have the number one rushing attack, or they did, going into Baltimore. The Ravens had no respect for Baker Mayfield in the passing game. They sold out to stop the run, and the Ravens play like that all the time, well, to a large degree. But, you know, we've seen it at least the past 3 weeks, New England, Detroit, Baltimore. I mean, these teams are just stacking the box, not respecting the passing game at all because they don't have to at this point. And they're just saying, like, hey, like, okay, we're daring Baker Mayfield and these receivers, these tight ends, to do damage in the passing game to hurt us because we're going to try to take away Nick Chubb and now Kareem Hunt's back too. And even with this great offensive line and these amazing backs, we're going to devote all our resources and energy to stopping it because the Browns right now are one-dimensional. And that is what makes it hard to believe that they can come out of this bye and just turn it on and win out to make the playoffs. Because they really need what I'm calling a miraculous run. Because of the way they're playing on offense, it would be miraculous to win out, to win these five games against good teams. You know, they come back December 12th, Ravens. Okay? So you got Ravens, you got Raiders, you got Packers, Steelers and Bengals, all teams in the hunt, all teams, you know, that you know, I'm thinking, what are the Raiders, Dan? I think they're the only, well, the Steelers are 5-5-1. Are the Raiders 6-5?
They're either 6-5 or 5-6.
Yeah. Okay, so.
They're 6-5, yeah.
They're 6-5. So the only team that is not, out of these last five games, the only team without a winning record is the Steelers at 5-5-1, I believe. So that they're 500. So, there's no layup left on the schedule. And the Lions are supposed to be a layup, and the Browns barely won, as we know. So that's why I'm saying, like, they're going to have to be creative. They're going to have to add wrinkles. They're going to have to do something to jumpstart this offense. It's not going to be changing the quarterback. They've made that clear. It's not going to be Kevin Stefanski ceding play calling duties to Alex Van Pelt. They've made that clear. So what's it going to be? I mean, Harrison Bryant now has a high ankle sprain, so they're not going to be able to play as much 13 personnel. Are they going to be able to use, with Kareem Hunt hopefully getting that calf right over the bye week, going to be able to use Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt on the field more, like back when Freddie Kitchens was running the wishbone? Are they going to be able to do some creative things like that? Is Jarvis Landry getting to rest the knee for a couple of weeks, and Donovan Peoples-Jones being able to rest the groin? Is that going to help the passing attack? I mean, you're right. I mean, Landry finally had a big game in Baltimore. It was a footnote. I mean, you didn't have to mention it. It wasn't relevant to the game, even though he did have his most productive outing of the season, 6 catches on 10 targets for 111 yards. Donovan Peoples-Jones was their hope at a deep threat after the Odell divorce, and he's been banged up with the groin off and on. Anthony Schwartz, are they ever going to get anything out of him again? I mean, he had a nice debut against the Chiefs, but now he's been concussion protocol last couple games and has been ineffective when he's been out there. Rashard Higgins was a healthy scratch. You're having all these receiving core problems. Obviously, he's disappointing behind the scenes that the coaches are making him a healthy scratch when they're in need of guys to catch the ball. Like, healthy scratch in Baltimore. You know, it's not good, Dan. And it's like, they're going to do some things. They're going to change some things up. They're going to run different personnel. Some of it by virtue of an injury. But the bottom line is, like, it is hard to envision right now them going 5-0 to make the playoffs, because that would get them to 11 wins and they would be in. But, you know, is there a world in which they can go 4-1 and make it 10 wins, 10-7? Yeah. Yeah, but they would need help, right? And their only loss probably if they right, they need a lot of help. And then in that 4-1, it probably the one loss would probably need to be to the only NFC team left on the schedule, the Packers on Christmas. So you probably would need to that would mean you need to beat the Ravens, the Raiders, and then the Steelers and the Bengals. If you can afford one loss, it's probably only to the Packers. So, and even then, that might not get you in. But I'm just saying that's probably your best shot at 4-1. But 5-0 would do it. So hard to imagine. So hard to imagine right now. That's why I think calling it a miracle is not an overstatement. Do you believe in miracles for this team, Dan?
No, I don't, unfortunately. I mean, the Browns kind of made their own bed here by losing these divisional games, first of all, losing to the Chargers, losing to the Patriots, you know. So that's the first tiebreaker in the NFL, head-to-head in the playoffs. So it's tough. It's extremely tough. And even if they did lose to Green Bay and go 4-1, it's no sure thing. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. 5 games left. Man, a bye this late in the season is just the worst. I hate that. Like, whatever. That is what it is. But, Nate, I don't want to cut us off prematurely, but do you want to talk about anything else, or do we need to get out of here?
Well, I mean, I do want to say that the sliver of hope, if you want to come up with one, is the defense has been playing well and
yes,
and creating turnovers and again those takeaways that were eluding it so often earlier in the season when the offense was actually scoring points. It's like things just haven't lined up where you have – you know, except for like really in the week 9 win in Cincinnati, where the defense is getting those takeaways, playing really good in coverage. I mean, think about what they did to Ja'Marr Chase. Like, I mean, it was a really impressive game defensively. And then the offense capitalized on those takeaways, you know, off the 4 picks in Baltimore, only 3 points were scored by the Browns. So yeah, that is the sliver. And I'm talking sliver of hope is that the defense has been playing well past couple games and getting those takeaways. And obviously Mac Jones is the outlier there. I mean, they got lit up in that one, but there's a stretch of games really going back to that Thursday night showdown with the Broncos. I mean, defensively, I mean, you're getting up 14 points to the Broncos, 15 to the Steelers, 16 to the Bengals. Then you get housed by the Patriots, 45-7. You give up 10 to the Lions and 16 to Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in Baltimore with all those interceptions. So, you know, I don't know where all the people who want Joe Woods fired are right now. I haven't heard from them lately. But, you know, as soon as the defense doesn't look great like it does right now, you'll hear from them again. I just hope those same people are calling for Kevin Stefanski to give up the play calling. Like, that's my opinion. Like, you want to blame coaches? Like, be equal and fair about it, because the offense has been a total dud, and for the most part, with that outlier in Cincinnati in the last 7 games, and the defense has been much better lately. They just haven't aligned. But like, I do want to say, like, Baker Mayfield, obviously not playing like a guy you're going to extend. Maybe he'll get a shot in 2022 to earn that. That was the crux of our conversation earlier. And the reason why I'm bringing him up again is because there is another guy who's going to be on the 5th-year option or scheduled to be on the 5th-year option next year, who's a high first-round pick, who's playing for a contract extension, who started off a little rocky this year, and I know you had questions about him, Dan, and those are fair questions. But I think lately, to kind of cap off this defensive discussion, I think Denzel Ward has been playing like a guy who you should want to extend.
Yeah, absolutely he has. And I'm glad you mentioned him, because it's not just him. It's Greg Newsom's been really good lately. But Ward, he's not one of those flashy cornerbacks who's going to be in your face and, you know, flaunting everything like some cornerbacks in the NFL. But, man, he is really good. Really, really good. So that is another decision that the Browns will have to make. We'll talk about that more in the future. We do have to cut things off now, though, because despite it being a bye week, the Browns are keeping Nate busy. So he has to get back to covering the team. I need to get back to my highfalutin vacation where I might not leave my home for the next week and a half. It's a great time here. Maybe a better time than it is for the Browns. So, with that, Nate, you don't have anything else, do you? I mean, I know you got to get going here.
I think that's it, except for, yo, shout out to Marlo Ridenour, our great sports columnist who covers the Browns with me. She got an interview with Callie Brownson. Callie's going to be coaching the U.S. women's team in Finland in the summer. Was on a Zoom with Callie earlier. Marla had a conversation with her in depth yesterday. You know, obviously Callie, you know, had a huge misstep in the off season with a drunken driving arrest, and you know, she trusted Marla enough to talk to her and to tell that story on her behalf and how she's reacted to it. So I just would encourage everybody to read Marla all the time. And this one specifically is pretty powerful and good read.
Yeah, it really is. It's over at beaconjournal.com/sports/Browns. Marla has been on some kind of heater. I might ask her for the lottery numbers while I'm off. She's been on such a hot streak of work. So that is going to do it for our podcast this week. Again, apologies about last week. Sorry we're a little late this week. And anybody who has been listening to us on Apple, who has made the shift over, all I can tell you is we're trying to figure it out with the Apple thing. And hopefully we'll get back on there soon. We have top men on the issue. So hopefully that gets worked out. But anyway, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Again, beaconjournal.com/sports/Browns. Follow Nate on Twitter. He's @ByNateUlrich. Again, make sure you're checking out USA Today Sports Plus from our friends over there at USA Today. You'll see a lot of familiar names there, and you'll see some great new stuff too. So USA Today Sports Plus on the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. But that is going to do it for Cover 2 this week. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will talk to you next time.